Good morning. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and let's look again in Romans 8, verses 32 to 39. I'd like to preach this morning on the subject of no separation. No separation. You know, as an enlightened but frail creature of dust, we're prone to doubt and fear. God's people are in need of assurance of God's love toward them. Now, very easily, we can behold why he would not show mercy towards such creatures as we are. But as our eyes of understanding are open to see his sovereignty and his power and his justice, we also look for his expressions of mercy towards sinners. Without controversy, the God of all creation is going to show mercy to whomsoever he pleases. That's what he told Moses in Exodus 33:19, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The greatest display of God's love toward his people is found in the crucifixion of his Son. Here we behold divine justice and wrath against sin being poured out upon Christ, who was, the scripture says, delivered up, surrendered over for us all. As God the Father spared not his own Son, didn't abstain, wasn't lenient. God's love is marvelously displayed toward those for whom Christ died, in that he gave his only begotten Son to die in their place. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Christ's death was one of substitution. He wasn't dying as a martyr. He wasn't dying as an example. Now we ask ourselves here, Paul says he was delivered up for us all. Who are these all, these us all, of whom Paul speaks? Well, it's those that love God, those that are the called according to his purpose, the foreknown, the approved ones, the predestinated ones, that would be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what we dealt with last week. The justified and glorified ones. These us all. Any time you find a passage of Scripture that appears to say something, put it up on a fence post and throw other Scripture at it, and if you can knock it off with another Scripture, then obviously it did not mean what you thought it meant. This us all. The Scripture clearly declares that Christ laid down his life for those that the Father had given him from the foundation of the world. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I die for my people. Those that the Father chose to salvation, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul says, we're bound to give thanks to you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In John 17, Christ was saying, I pray for those that you have given me out of the world. I don't pray for the world. Who are these us all? Why, it's the sheep that shall hear his voice and come to him. Acts 2 says it's those that should be saved that were added to the church daily. Ephesians 1:4, those chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world that should be holy and without blame before him in love. A group of Pharisees came to the Lord in the Gospel of John and says, how long are you going to make us doubt? Won't you tell us plainly? He said, I told you, but you believe not, because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:10, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Since God has delivered up Christ to be the surety and the representative, the sacrifice, the sin offering for us all, shall he not also freely give us all things that Christ has purchase for us? All things, all spiritual blessings, faith to believe, comfort and joy and peace in Christ, His justifying righteousness, adoption, eternal life. Oh, verse 33 says, who can bring any of God's elect to the bar of justice? These elect, born in Adam, no doubt, they possess chargeable offenses from birth and by practice in life. They have a lack of a fit and perfect righteousness in themselves. Who shall bring any charge? Oh, they bring charges against themselves. Satan certainly accuses them. But here's the insinuation. Who shall bring any charge? Who shall charge anything that will stick? These charges will avail nothing. Why? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit does not charge them. Why? Because God has justified them. How? By their dead works? No. God has justified the elect by pronouncing them righteous through the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them. Who can condemn the elect of God? Here's the foundation of eternal security. God has justified them. Christ died for them. Yea, rather, the Scripture says that He's risen again. The resurrection of Christ testifies to the acceptance by Almighty God of His, that is, Christ's, accomplishment, who is even now at the right hand of God. Christ has entered into the heavens, heaven itself, to prepare us a place. He sat down, having finished the work that He came to do, that He was sent to do, the work that He accomplished perfectly. Now we are seated with Him in the heavenlies. And the Scripture says, who also maketh intercession for us. He appears for us. His presence intercedes. He presents His sacrifice and applies to us the benefits of His death. There's one God, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, and one mediator between God and men, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. Who can condemn those that Christ has died for whom Christ was raised, ascended to the right hand of God, and intercedes for? His death, with the imputation of the guilt of God's elect, put on Christ, His death has put away sin for His people. His resurrection brought in an everlasting righteousness. His ascension displays that He has led captivity captive. He has triumphed over those that held His people captive, that is, sin and Satan, the law and death. And now He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ, from His love for us? Shall tribulation, what, trials or afflictions or burdens or distress of body or soul or persecution from the world? Shall famine or nakedness or peril or sword, which many brethren have suffered, shall these things separate us from the love of Christ? Christ's love for us is eternal, unchangeable, immutable. Nothing can alter that. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then verse 36 says, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's a quote from Psalm 44, verse 22. The meaning is, for God's sake, for God's honor, for God's glory, for the sake of true worship, for the sake of the gospel of free grace and redemption by Christ's blood, for His own. The people of God have been persecuted and despised and put to death, reckoned by this world to be nothing but fit for slaughter. And with that attitude, they reveal, that is, the attitude of the world, they reveal their enmity against God, and they expose themselves to His divine justice. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In all these trials, we're not defeated, we're not overcome, but we're actually made better in this life, conformed for them. James 1 says, consider it all joy when you fall in these divers temptations. J.C. Philpott, great writer, preacher of the gospel, says on this thing of more than conquerors, he said, only in proportion as we are emptied of self in all of its various forms are we filled with the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. We must be overcome in order to overcome. To gain victory, we're to be made to know our weakness. We don't learn this from others. We don't learn this by a head knowledge. We learn it in our soul by a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ through His Spirit. We're more than conquerors through our own strength and resolutions? No. Paul says, through Him that loved us. There's no other way to overcome but by the strength of Christ made perfect in our weakness. And then the grand conclusion. Paul says in those last two verses, 38 and 39, I am persuaded. Neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature. What he's saying is this, nothing in the whole universe shall be able to separate us from God's love which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, what an encouragement for God's people. They realize no indwelling sin, no afflictions, no weakness on our part, no trial within or without shall be able to separate us from Christ. We have right here reason to rejoice and to reckon ourselves eternally secure in the Redeemer's love. Why? We believe God. The Scripture says Abraham believed God. The Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what? Well, we believe that His love toward us is by grace. It's without any conceivable cause within us to merit that love. We believe that Christ died for His sheep, the elect. Scripture says, died for the ungodly while they were yet in their sins. We believe that God divinely imputed our guilt to Christ and His righteousness to us. We believe that the evidence of election is that we believe God. We believe the report that God has given concerning Christ by faith from above. We believe that we're kept not by our own ability, but by the power of God unto the day of redemption. We believe God. We believe that salvation is of the Lord. Oh, cast yourself upon His mercy. Look to Christ. Look to Him. Believe God. Paul said we're persuaded. Well, I thank you for your attention. And until next week on this channel at this time, may God bless you.